look into your word, and as we discover some things that weren't so good back in your day, and yet, Lord, you give us the answer, you give us the solution, and all we need to do is do it. So, Lord, I pray that you would build in us your character. Prepare our hearts through this time for communion to worship you as we remember what you did for us on that cross. And Lord, that we might open our hearts up to your Spirit to fill us and renew us. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a group of people back in Jesus' day. They sought to be holy. They wanted to be separate from sin, worldliness, compromise, and impurity. So they separated themselves. They called themselves the Perushim. Perushim means separated ones. But as they focused on their own holiness, they grew self-righteous and proud. Their godliness became one of outward appearance, a substitute for what was no longer in their hearts. So the separated ones ended up separating themselves from God, much as a branch cut off from the life of a tree. They still had the outward form, the leaves, the blossoms, the past, and the remnants of what had been when they were joined to God, but inside they were dead. And then the God whom they had once sought came to them, and what did they do? They killed him. Perushim, the original name for what we now know as the Pharisees, the separated ones. And Jesus had very strong words for them, and I want us to go to those words, Matthew chapter 23, 1508, in your pew Bibles, 1508. Matthew 23. We're going to start in verse 13. It starts the woes. You've probably heard them before. It says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and then when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are. Woe to you, blind guides! You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift on it, he is bound by his oath, you blind men, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, if he who swears by the altar swears by it and everything on it, and he who swears by the temple swears by it and by the one who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by God, God's throne, and by the one who sits on it. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spice, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former, you blind guides! You strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside also will be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law, Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you blind
you build tombs for the prophets and decorate the graves of the righteous, and you say, if we had lived in the days of our forefathers, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. So you testify against yourselves that you are the descendants of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up the measure of the sin of your forefathers, you snakes, you brood of vipers. You will not escape being condemned to hell. You know, there's a lot of more that we can talk about, but I want to look at these things. The Purushim, the separated ones, just like whitewashed tombs. I have actually a picture of some beautiful tombs. Aren't those pretty? They're so beautiful. And just as Jesus said, they're full of dead men's bones. He's relating this and telling these Pharisees these things. When also he's teaching us the same, that we can't go around putting on the facade of looking all great and nice. You know, I wear a nice suit and got a tie on and everything, and I'm looking all good. But if I don't have Jesus in my heart, if I don't put His Word in my heart, if I don't clean the inside, the outside means nothing. And so these Purushim, the ones who had followed God and wanted to separate themselves from all the evil, turned away from the truth and became enemies of God. They thought that if they did righteous things, they would make their points with God. And as time went on, their rules that they developed became their righteousness. And so they became what we call legalists. They had all these do's and don'ts. But you know, in the conference yesterday, it was interesting. They several of the men that preached that day talked about the law is complete and love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And in those two, the law is fulfilled. Isn't that amazing? But these individuals, they decided to develop these laws and these rules and regulations that would make them shine and make everybody toil under their rules and regulations. They put emphasis on the outward appearance. They wore the flowing robes and they wore all the great sashes and tunics and whatever else that they wore back in those days, inlaid with gold, and they stood on the street corners and they prayed their prayers, and everyone just would gasp and be in awe at their wonderful prayers that they prayed. You know, it's interesting that Jesus pointed out way back in one of the parables that there was a woman that came to the temple and gave everything she had. She had just a few pennies and she gave it. And then the Pharisees come along and they say, "Oh, I'm so glad I'm not like that person." And they raise their hand up and they give their tenth. And they neglect the things that are reality of what God wants in our hearts. The sinner and the tax collector comes to the temple and he beats his breast and says, "God, forgive me." And the Pharisees say, "Oh, I'm so glad I'm not like him." We look so nice. We dress so nice. We have wonderful prayers. But is it inside? You know, Jesus points out a simple but critical failure. They left God out. They detached themselves from the vine. I want us to go to that scripture. It's in John chapter 15. 1643 in your pew Bibles. John chapter 15, 1643 in the pew Bibles, starting at verse 1. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Yesterday, one of the speakers, he said, you are a Christian. Franz pointed that out last week. He said, we're Christians. The disciples were first called Christians. Why were they called Christians? Because they followed Christ. Christ was the one that they were going to follow and do what he did. In fact, in another session, they talked about the example of Jesus. He showed the disciples. In fact, it was so, so amazing when one of them said, the disciples were on a 3-year conference, men's conference, with Jesus. 3 years they were with Jesus, the one who exampled, taught, showed what they should do. And they get up into the upper room, and the basin of water is sitting there, and the towel and everything else, and they all sat down, and he said that when did Jesus get up to wash the disciples' feet? When supper had been served. So Jesus was sitting there waiting for one of the disciples to do what he taught him to do. Serve. But none of them were willing to wash the other's feet. They all looked at the basin. They saw it. Because it's right there. They knew the culture. They knew the tradition. What had to be done was your feet needed to be washed before you sat down for supper. You didn't go into a house without having your feet washed. And yet, they all looked at the basin and they said, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. And Jesus sat there waiting. Did you learn anything? Did you hear what I was saying? You know, I know pastors feel that way sometimes. And I get so thrilled when somebody comes up and says, hey, you want this or you want that? Or how about if I do this? Or how about, you know, and it's like, wow, it's making a difference. And sometimes we neglect, we forget that we're here not to just see me, you know, act out and tell a couple jokes and be all cool. Alright, by your laugh I get I've been unsuccessful in that. But you know, we're here to learn from God. This is His Word. And He's telling us things that He doesn't like and things that He does. And He doesn't like us to be like the Pharisees, like the hypocrites. You know, we hear that all around. In fact, the statistic is that our college-age students leave the church. Why? Because they see the hypocrisy in the church. Now, it doesn't mean that we aren't a little hypocritical in the way we act, because sometimes we are. We're all, in some ways or another, hypocritical. But it's the hypocrisy of, you know, yeah, I believe in Jesus, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and then we're in the bar as soon as we get out. Because we can't help but, you know, we got to have that, feed that addiction. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, and we beat our wives or we beat up our kids. You know, this is contrary. That's the hypocritical. We should be as Jesus was and is. And the way you do that is by attaching yourself to the vine. You know, I have a picture of the next one. Branches that have been cut off. They look green. They look just like they were when they were attached. And sometimes we are detached from the vine And we all talk and look and act like we're attached. But we're not. We're dead inside because we've detached. We don't want to follow everything. Yesterday, one of the men talked about the Knights Templar. When you go to these conferences, you get so much information, it's like, I wish I could share it all. But the Knights Templar would pull their sword out, and they all would have to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So they had to be believers. They would commit themselves to the Lord, and they would believe in the Lord, and they would entrust their lives to the Lord. But when they were baptized, they held their sword out of the water because they said, I'm sanctified to the Lord, but my sword and what it will do is not. And what the man related it to is he said it's like us giving everything we have to the Lord except this area of my life. It might be the internet and things that we look on the internet. Maybe dating. It may be porn. It may be relationships. It may be, alcohol or drugs or gambling or something has got a hold on us that we say, I give you everything, Lord, but that. Because I want to do that yet. I'm sanctifying everything but that. And Jesus tells us here that we are either attached to the vine, Him, or we're not. And you can't attach to the vine, but not attach this part. And keep this separate. That's mine. I'm going to set that over here. You can't. You're either all in, or you're not in. And so, Jesus teaches the disciples that you and I, the truth, is living in God, living in Him, connected to Jesus. We tend to all be busy. We get busy, we have lots of things going on in our lives. We forget to remain in Him and allow Him, His power, His strength, His wisdom to flow through us. You know, I have people ask me a lot of times, they ask for counseling, and they ask me, and I know Franz has dealt with this too, they ask, what do I do in this situation? How do I handle this obstacle? You know, I'm at work and I got this pressure on me. Somebody that maybe they're asking them to lie. Maybe they're asking you to do something that's not quite right. That's just not right. But you're trying to justify it in your mind. You're trying to say, well, if I do this, at least I keep my job and I keep my family supplied and I'm gonna do what I gotta do. I gotta pay the bills. But you're all in or you're not. We're fruitful because of Him. I've been faced with situations like that before. And when I stood on the truth, God has provided. I had a job one time and I just got married to Shauna. First wedding, got married to Shauna just got this great job. It was a perfect job for me. Research and development with the gun systems on the Apache helicopter and the chain gun and all that stuff. I'd been out of the military for a couple years and I got this job and it was great. It paid good. You traveled different times. But all of a sudden they started making me travel every week. I was gone. Every week I was gone. And Shauna couldn't go, and we were just married. And I went to the boss and I said, this is not healthy for my marriage. I want to be a good husband. I don't want to be all the time gone. Not only does it put pressures on me living with integrity, but it puts pressure on her to live by herself. And I don't want our marriage to be founded on that.
He says, well, I'm sorry, you're the low man on the totem pole, and you're it.
I had a decision to make, and I made it.
I said, well, then I put my resignation in. I give you 2 weeks' notice.
Well, if that's the way you got to do it. So I went home and I went, okay, Lord, I'm not going to have a job in 2 weeks.
And God supplied me a job that was the dream job.
I had always trained, I studied in college after the service to be a machinist. Not the kind that drills 100 million parts all day long, just drilling one part. I did that too.
But to make parts one at a time. Parts that had 3,000 plus or minus tolerances. Parts that would do something amazing. And in 2 weeks, I had a job with another company, Hughes Aircraft, making satellite parts, prototype machinists, lathes, mills, whatever you need to do to build it. Dream job. And then God decided to give me an even better dream job. And as I was machining parts and making these satellite parts and just like having a great time, I'm reading my Bible at lunch. And it's like a voice. I tell you, it's like a voice. Saying, is this what you really want to do? I said, yeah. And God said, would you rather mold metal or mold people? That's a tough question. And I said, well, I'd rather mold people. That's what's going to last for eternity. This metal, these satellite parts. Eventually, a satellite loses its orbit and burns up in Earth's gravity. I'd rather mold people. And God said, are you in or not? I had a big choice then, too. So I made that choice, and here I am. But there was a lot of things that went on in between. A lot of trials, a lot of heartache, a lot of issues that I had to deal with. But those were all because I was in Him. He gave me the strength. He gave me the ability. He gave me the wisdom. We are strong because of Him. We are unshaken. And we live in victory because of Him. He is the vine. We are the branches. Abide in Him, and He in you. Trust Him with your life. Let Jesus live through you in every aspect of your life. I guarantee you'll never be left out. You'll never have that, did I do the right thing? I want to tell you, when I stepped out and I said, Lord, whatever you want, I'm here. Sort of like Eli and Samuel and some of these others that said, here I am. Have you said that to the Lord? Here I am, Lord. If you have, hang on tight. Because I don't know what He's going to do, but He'll do something amazing. You were built to be amazing. You were created to be amazing. You may not think that about yourself, but you were. In fact, in the conference, they said, do you ever want to be like a superhero? You know, you ever have, like, comics, there we go. I can't even think of it. The comics and other things, and then buy different things, like Batman's cape, or Superman, or have the helmet on for Iron Man or something like that. We all have had these dreams of being heroic.
Do you ever have dreams of flying? I get them all the time. Save somebody. Be heroic. Be strong. Be able to lift up buildings. Be able to save the person that's in distress. We all have those dreams of those things. That's because God implanted them in us because we're meant to do great things. Not to lift up buildings, but to save people, to share the gospel, to give them hope when there is no hope. That's what we're created for. He wants us to keep dreaming. He wants us to keep moving. He wants us to keep encouraging, lifting up, helping those that are in need. If you haven't done anything like that recently, you're missing your place in life. You're missing the whole amazing life that God has planned for you. Don't sell yourself short. Do what God wants you to do. We have communion to do, so I better get to that. Before we do, let's bow our heads in prayer, prepare our hearts, and I pray that if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, if you are not in the vine, then pray with me too. Father, thank you so much for sending Jesus here to this earth to example for us what He wants, what You want. And Lord, as we live our lives here in this world, there's so much pressure, so much pulling us in different directions. Lord, I pray that right now, in this moment, if there's somebody that has not received You as Savior, received You into their lives, maybe they're holding a portion out, maybe they're not even attached to the vine, Lord, I pray that they would pray right now, Jesus, come into my life. Lord, forgive me for my sins. Make me a new creature. Thank You, Lord. Fill me with Your Spirit. Attach me to the vine. I want to do Your will. I want to live that amazing life that You have planned for me. I want to accomplish great things for You. Lord, thank You so much. We pray now for communion. We pray that You would prepare our hearts. Lord, if there's things held in our heart, if we've held that sword, that arm out of the water, if we've held that away from You, Lord, I pray right now, we release it all to You. We reattach ourselves back to the vine so that we no longer are on our own, but we are in You and You are in us. Thank You, Lord, for this time. We pray now for Your blessings on it in Jesus' name. Amen. Deacons?
When Jesus went to that upper room again, he was trying to tell the disciples what would happen and somewhat of the reasons why it would happen. And I don't think they got it, not until after Jesus rose from the grave. And they finally got it. And so Paul, when he writes in 1 Corinthians about communion, he says, we get together for a love feast, and they basically ate a meal before they took the bread and the cup. And he told them that we take the bread and we break it and pass it around to everyone, and they all partake of the bread. And then he says that to do this in remembrance of Jesus. And what we do when we remember Jesus is we remember that he didn't walk away from the cross. It was a death sentence. And so he gave up his life for us, that we might have eternal life. And so when we break the bread and we eat this bread, it's like a photograph, like a movie that's played out, that Jesus was beaten and broken and nailed on a cross for us. So as we take this bread, remember what he did for you to have that eternal life. So let's take the bread together.